WNYC began broadcasting in 1924, 85 years ago today. It made me wonder, what was life like 85 years before 1924? Martin Van Buren was the eighth president in office. There was slavery in America, no electrical powers, no cars, but it was the year of the invention of the bicycle, as we know it today. And the art and technology of daguerreotype photography had just been announced back in 1839. We heard the music of Puccini, who died in 1924. Also dying that year were Franz Kafka, Vladimir Lenin, Joseph Conrad, Gabriel Fauré, Victor Herbert. Born in 1924 were Max Roach, Earl Scruggs, Gloria Vanderbilt, Sarah Vaughan, Marlon Brando, Doris Day, Henry Mancini, Charles Aznavour, Chet Atkins, Audie Murphy, Lauren Bacall, Truman Capote, Ed Wood, Ed Koch, and Rod Serling. And in 1924, George Gershwin, who was 26 years old, premiered his Rhapsody in Blue with Paul Whiteman's orchestra in Aeolian Hall, which is a place here in New York City near Times Square. It's gone through a few transformations since 1924 and is currently the home of SUNY's College of Optometry. But in 1924, it hosted the very first performance of some music that has since shaped American music and American ears and Americans. And we're going to hear it reshaped tonight by Matt Marks. Welcome, Matt. Matt Marks is a multi-instrumentalist. He plays the French horn and piano, and he's sung as well. He performs regularly with the group Alarm Will Sound, recently composed an erotic post-Christian pop opera titled Little Death, Volume 1. More about that another time, I guess. And one of Matt's first accomplishments as a young musician was to perform Rhapsody in Blue as a piano soloist. But tonight, we are going to hear not only the sound of 1924, but the sound of change, as this piece, Rhapsody in Blue, so familiar, is going to be transformed through the computer and musical mind of Matt Marks here on Evening Music.
Thank you.
Pat Marks. A performance of Rhapsody in Blue, reinterpreted, I guess. Do you have a title for that piece?
Not really. I mean, the project title was just Rhapsody. And I found that as I was working on it, it kind of became rhapsodic in nature. I mean, one of the great things I love about Rhapsody in Blue from a listener and a performer is the fact that there's not really much of a form. And that's intended. I mean, that's part of the rhapsodic form, is it's meant to be a little bit more free. And I'm a type of person that's not really huge on form either when I write. So I kind of was like, you know, this is, in a way, this remix is kind of my own Rhapsody. Obviously, you see it's a departure from the original, but like a vast departure from the original.
But, yeah, but connected.
But yeah, there is a big connection. So Rhapsody remix, I don't know.
All right. How did you do it?
How'd I do it? Using the magic of technology? No. I'm using a program called Ableton Live, which is my main performing program. It's actually also my main recording program. But it's a program that works really well with samples, and I've always been a lover of sampling. I started off doing music as a, well, I started off doing music as a French horn player, but I started off doing electronic music first as a DJ, and then I got into sampling. And one of the great things about this program and where my performing electronic music has really driven me is towards sampling and audio. So taking audio and manipulating it in a way that makes it almost unrecognizable from its original source. So a lot of what I've used has been stretched out versions of things.
But all your source samples are recordings of Rhapsody in Blue. So.
Everything except for some of the beats. Some of the beats I used were... just a few of them were from 909 samples, which is an old drum machine, and then the Amen break, which is an old drum break. But everything, almost, you know, I'd say 95% of it is all Rhapsody in Blue. And so it's a lot of, I kind of based it around this idea I had where one of my favorite parts is the opening clarinet lick.
Sure.
And I included it right at the beginning. And maybe it's because I've been living with a clarinet player for the last 4 years, and I've heard him play that excerpt over and over and over, and my favorite part, of course, is where it's like, and then he bends it, you know, and so I love that, you know, and I would actually, you know, talk to Bill, my roommate, and, you know, be like, how do you do that? How can you do that? I don't play clarinet, but, you know, to me, it's a mystery. So actually, what I did was I took that stretchy part and stretched it out over about 9 minutes.
And so that was going on the whole time.
So you hear this kind of slowly descending drone throughout the entire thing, and that's kind of what I built the form on. So.
Oh, cool. Well, thank you very much.
Sure, thank
Matt
you.
Matt Marks.